नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अभ्यद्यनस्त्वं स्वकृते हिता प्रभो जिहाससि स्वित् सुहृदौन् नुजिन्वना येषां न चान्यां भवता पदम्बुजात् परायणां सा च सुयोजितं सहम् O my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us, support by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The Pandavas are most fortunate because without good luck they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. The material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything, but the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of nature. Beginning from Ravana, who wanted to prepare a direct staircase to the planets of heaven down to the present age, they are trying to overcome the laws of nature. They are trying now to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on Him. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time completely depend on the Lord. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Sri Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. Still, they always looked for the mercy of the Lord because they knew that every living being is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is, therefore, to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in this material world. Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, or without a guardian, whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanatta, or those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanata, so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. By the deluding potency of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. The Bhagavad Gita, therefore, directs us that after many, many births, one fortunate person becomes aware of the fact that Vasudeva is all in all, and that the best way of leading one's life is to surrender unto him completely. That is the sign of a Mahatma. All the members of the Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the head of these Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Devi was his mother. The lessons of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas, specifically the Bhagavad Purana, are therefore inevitably connected with the history of the Pandava Mahatmas. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Srimati Kunti Devi, therefore, felt such separation like a thunderbolt. And the whole prayer of the Queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, although the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It is not only the Pandavas who were put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. The best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcome all the difficulties of material existence. Queen Kunti is here and pleading with Lord Sri Krishna not to leave the city of Hastinapur. The great battle of Kurukshetra was fought in order to establish dharma in the world. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanardhaya sambhavami judeshukai. Krishna explains in Gita that he appears in this world to reestablish dharma, to annihilate the miscreants, and to protect the devotees. All of these three purposes were fulfilled through this great battle in Kurukshetra. Although we have found in Mahabharata what type of warrior was Arjuna, how gallantly he fought with his Gandiva bow, and Bhima with his mighty mace, how he destroyed by great, great, great endeavor all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, how he so painstakingly arranged all of the armies on that field, even before the war, Maharaj Yudhisthira had to travel here, there, everywhere, send his brothers to rally support to help him for his cause. All of these great warriors, the Pandavas, along with their armies, they endured so much pain, so much suffering, so much hardship during those 18 days. And ultimately, they were victorious. But Queen Kunti is saying, you have executed all your duties yourself. Krishna gave all credit to Arjuna as the winner of the war. But the Pandavas, although the world may think that Arjuna and Yudhisthira and Bhima won that war, they were cognizant that actually it was Krishna that did everything himself. They were only the instruments. Krishna is the doer. Prakrite kriyamana nigunaya karmani sarvasha ahankara vimrutatma karata hamiti manyati. The bewildered soul thinks himself the doer of his activities, but actually they are carried out by nature. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara hetunani nikontaya jagad viparivartite. And Krishna says that I am directing this material nature. Therefore, everything material and everything spiritual is ultimately being done by Krishna. Sarva karana karana. He is the cause of all causes. So Mahatma Sadurlabha. And one who understands this is Mahatma. Therefore, here, Srila Prabhupada is declaring that the Pandavas are true Mahatmas. Because they took credit for nothing that they did. Even though they did more than anyone had ever done. They conquered the whole world and reestablished Dharma for the whole planet. They gave all that credit to Krishna. And you know, a mother is always very proud of the successes of her children. Every mother likes to boast about what her children has done. But here, Queen Kunti is saying that my children had done nothing. They won the battle of Kurukshetra. They conquered Drona. They conquered Bhishma. They established Dharma all over the world. But actually, they have done nothing. Krishna has done everything. He has so kindly, so mercifully bestowed his power through my children to do such wonderful things. But due to pride, due to bodily identification, she never for a second lost touch of the truth that Krishna is the cause of all causes. And therefore, Queen Kunti is truly a genuine Mahatma, completely depending on the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the material world, it is a humiliating experience to be dependent on anyone. In fact, in the Varnashram system, the only people who are dependent on anyone in this world are the Shudras. The Brahmins are independent. They don't have to answer to anyone of this world. They live very simply. They accept poverty. They preach. Whatever comes of its own accord, they accept it. And because they're not depending on anyone for favors, they can preach the truth. As soon as you're dependent on anyone for material favors, you cannot preach the truth. You have to speak according to what that person wants to hear. Diplomacy. But amongst true Brahmins, they have to be independent. Otherwise, they cannot speak the truth straightforward without compromise. And the Kshatriyas were also independent. They had their independent rule, the Kshatriyas. They received guidance from the Brahmins, but they didn't have to come to anyone for any favors. And the Vaishyas were also independent. A Vaishya is never to be employed by anyone. A Vaishya is a landowner. Someone who has property, someone who is financially independent. He is the boss. Although he is following the Kshatriyas who are under the guidance of the Brahmins. It is only the Shudras that are dependent on the higher three classes and serve them very faithfully. So in this material world, people consider it to be a very, very demeaning condition to be dependent on another. It is our egoistic condition that we want to be independent. Ultimately, that nature comes from our very constitutional position. We are part and parcel of Krishna, who is abhigya and swarat. Swarat means he's fully independent. He can do anything, anytime, to anyone. And there is no law that can check him. That is Krishna. Achintya Shakti. He has inconceivable powers. What is it that Krishna cannot do? Independent, in the true sense, means you can do anything, anytime. Just like now, some of us, by being in the cold weather of Kumbh Mela, we are becoming sick. If we were independent, we could just say, sickness, go away, and it would go away. We are not independent. We are dependent on these material laws. We are dependent on the limitations of this body. If we were independent, anything, we would not have to die. We would not have to grow old. We can just say, body, remain young forever. And the body would remain young forever. But we are depending on the power of time. We cannot avoid it. And so many, we want to go to Delhi or Bombay, we have to go on these trains or airplanes. That means we are dependent. If we were independent, we would just say, I want to be in Bombay, and instantly you would be in Bombay. This is Krishna. Anything he desires is immediately fulfilled. Krishna wants to put 16,108 beautiful palaces on the small island of Dwarka, and immediately it is done. Krishna wants to give Maharaj Yudhisthira billions of servants. Maharaj Yudhisthira had more bodyguards than the entire population of the earth today, and they all lived on the tiny island of Dwarka. Now for us, you see how much trouble there is at this Kumbh Mela when there's just 20 million people trying to bathe in the Sangam. There's people getting crushed to death. There's people drowning. There's people in so much distress. But Krishna can put billions. How many billions? 4 billion. How many were in Dwarka? Ugrasena's bodyguards. 4 quadrillion. 4 quadrillion bodyguards of Maharaj Yudhisthira on the island of Dwarka. Ugrasena. Maharaj Ugrasena. We may think, how is this possible? It is because Krishna is Swarat. He can do anything. And when we read about Dwarka, we don't read about traffic jams. How they're all bumping into each other, bumper to bumper traffic, trying to get to the Sudharma meeting house. We read how it's so spacious. It's all beautiful lawns and gardens and lakes with auspicious trees, and everybody's dressed in beautiful jewelry and silks. There's plenty room for everyone. Krishna can do anything because he's independent. Anytime. He is Swarat. Krishna wants to manifest his Mahavishnu form. Within a second, he becomes Mahavishnu. And all the planets emanate from his body and his exhalation. And when he decides, I want to destroy all the cosmic manifestation, he just inhales and everything is destroyed. This is Krishna. Krishna can place the whole universe within his mouth and show it to Mother Yashoda. And then he can close his mouth and appear just like a helpless child. This is Krishna. So we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all eternally dependent on Krishna. Our independence is perfectly situated when we independently choose to depend completely on Krishna. But when we misuse our independence and try to imitate Krishna by being the controller and not accept the position of being controlled, then all the miseries and illusions of material life follow that wrong choice. The jivatma is tatashta shakti. That means marginal energy. That means we have the independence to decide whether we want to be controlled by the material energy or whether we want to be controlled by the spiritual energy. But in any case, we are completely dependent, but we have the independence because we are part of Krishna to choose who to depend on, Maya or Krishna. So here we find Queen Kunti, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev. Although they are kings of the whole world, everyone is subjugated by them. They realize that they are completely dependent on Krishna. Later we read in Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna wanted to reveal it very, very blatantly to the world. How dependent his devotees always are on him. After he left this planet at Prabhaskshetra, Arjuna came to Dwarka. And there, many of the queens of Krishna, Arjuna was trying to bring them to Hastinapur safely. But as he was bringing them, a band of infidel cowherd men attacked Arjuna. Arjuna conquered the greatest warriors. He even was able to win Lord Shiva himself in combat. In his battle with Lord Shiva was so pleased that he gave him so many benedictions. This is Arjuna. But these cowherd men completely defeated him. His mighty Gandiva bow didn't work. And then he realized that Krishna gave me the power, and now Krishna has withdrawn the power, so I am helpless. And we see in Krishna consciousness, sometimes Krishna gives a devotee tremendous power, power to control the mind and senses, power to preach with such intelligence and brilliance, power to discriminate and manage things so wonderfully, power to sing so beautifully and invoke so many people to chant and dance. But it is all Krishna's power. When he is pleased with us, he can endow us with these powers. But if we become proud, if we think it is my power, if we start to try to enjoy the glory that comes through whatever Krishna has given us, then Krishna, who is independent, may at any time by his mercy withdraw it. And even if we are the greatest tapasis, he can make it so that we cannot even control the grossest temptations of our mind and senses. Even though we are brilliant scholars, Krishna can make us a fool within a second. Krishna can take away our power to speak, our power to sing, our power to see, our power to walk, our power to breathe. Because we are always dependent on Krishna. Therefore, Queen Kunti is herein presenting to us the most essential truth which is preliminary to all real spiritual advancement. To accept that we are completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Queen Kunti, she is begging the Lord not to leave. Because what is the use of this great, great kingdom? What is the use of all this wealth and all this honor without Krishna? Krishna is the only object of real opulence. Krishna is the source of all opulence. If we have Krishna, we have everything. If we lose Krishna, we have nothing. The foolish people of this world are struggling so hard just to get some money, just to get some prestige, just to get some good health. But for a devotee, they are all in great poverty, because all they have is a grand illusion. Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishwarya Sruta Sri Bir Edamana Madapuman Naiva Hatyabitatum Vai Twam Akin Chinavocha. Queen Kunti prays that those who are infatuated by possession of physical beauty, great wealth, high birth, prestigious education, such persons become so proud that they cannot call out your name feelingly. They cannot chant your name in a mood of depending only on your mercy. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he taught us how we should chant the holy name. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena. That without Krishna, who is so mercifully appearing within his name, this whole world is empty. It is void. There's nothing. We are so much attracted. Look at the world today. So much attracted by gold and jewelry, by money, by cars, by nice houses, by nice accommodations like cars and television sets and stereos. And the city is trying to build nice roads, nice parks. Queen Kunti and her sons had all these things. But without Krishna, it was all one big zero. There was no meaning. There was no purpose. There was no fulfillment. This is what it means to be dependent on Krishna. That there's nothing without you, Krishna. I am nothing without you, Krishna. When we speak about depending on Krishna, this is what we mean. Sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. That this whole world is a dreary void without you. And when we chant the holy name in this spirit, in a helpless state of mind, recognizing that we are utterly dependent on Krishna for our every breath, then we could chant the holy name properly. There are so many beautiful stories. The Srimad Bhagavatam, in almost every story, we find this quality of the devotees, with such humility, utterly depending only on the mercy of Krishna. Here we find the story of Kunti and the Pandavas. There is also the story of Gajendra. Gajendra thought he was the king of the elephants. He had beautiful family, great power. But when the crocodile of death bit his teeth into Gajendra's leg, Gajendra, endeavoring, trying so greatly to protect himself, realized that it was beyond his power. And therefore, he lifted up his trunk with the lotus flower and said, Krishna, save me. No one else can save me. I am yours. I have been in such illusion that I was thinking that my family, my power, my intelligence could save me. But now I know, Krishna, by your mercy, that you are the only one that can save me. And it is said that when Gajendra was offering his prayers to the Lord in full humility and devotion, surrendering his life, at that time the crocodile realized that this elephant is going back to Godhead, so I'm going to keep at his lotus feet. I will not let go of his lotus feet for anything, because if I just hold on, he will take me back home, back to Godhead, because he's surrendering to Krishna. And sure enough, Vishnu came, and the first thing he did is he delivered the crocodile. So somehow or other, we should never let go of the lotus feet of the great souls. Whoever is surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should just hold on to their lotus feet. Of course, we should not make them bleed. But by the time when Gajendra was in his state of moksha, of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, at that time he didn't even notice this crocodile any longer. He was immersed in Krishna Smaranam, remembering the Lord with prayers. And there is a story of Prahlad, how Prahlad, as a 5-year-old child, he had no physical power to defend himself, but he was completely fearless because he was utterly dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Krishna, if you want to protect me, what can this... Hiranyakashipu conquered Indra, conquered Vayu, conquered Varuna, conquered all the gods in the heavens. Who am I next to them? I'm just a 5-year-old boy. But I know, Krishna, that if I depend on you and I put myself at your lotus feet, then what power in the world can disturb me? If you want me dead, I will die and go back to Godhead. If you want me alive, what will this fool Hiranyakashipu do to me? He is insignificant. The whole story of Prahlad is the story of utter dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And Ambarish Maharaj also, although Duryodhana Muni created such a monstrous demon made of fire, Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't try to defend himself. He was also a great king. He could have mobilized his armies and his soldiers. But he just stood with folded palms. Krishna, I'm yours. Do as you like. And the Brijbasis, although in their Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras, they didn't recognize Krishna as God. They thought that Krishna is only their most blessed object of love and affection. Still, when some danger came to Vrindavan, even though they didn't consider God, Krishna, still they completely depended on him. When the fire was blazing all around them, Davanala Kund, all the cowherd boys and cows, they turned to Krishna, that, please save us. We have no one but you. And Krishna swallowed the fire. And at the time when Indra was throwing torrents and torrents of rain, the Samvartaka clouds. Samvartaka clouds, there's the Samvartaka fire, the Samvartaka clouds. These are used only at the time of the destruction of the planetary systems. The Samvartaka fire creates fire everywhere and burns everything. And the Samvartaka clouds put out the fire with torrents and torrents of rain and makes all the planets into one huge ocean. Not only all the planets, but different stages of pralaya, half the universe becomes just an ocean and all the planets are just lunged underwater. Indra sent these Samvartaka clouds. The rain was falling like pillars. Each raindrop was as big and as heavy as an elephant. and evolve. And the Brijavasis, when they saw this coming, they all came to Krishna, all the cows, all the gopas, gopis, Krishna, please save us. You told us to perform this puja. Only you can save us. And then there is a story of the Brahmin of Avanti Desh, how he misused people so much during his life. And beyond his power and control, all of his wealth, all of his prestige, everything was ruthlessly taken away from him. And people were spitting on him, people were kicking him, people were blaspheming him. He had nothing and no one. And in that condition, he completely fell at the feet of Krishna within the core of his heart, utterly dependent on Krishna. And then he attained the perfection of life. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all of these great bhakti shastras teach this one point, complete wholesale dependence on Krishna. Complete wholesale surrender to Krishna, knowing that he is my only shelter. Abhaya charanarabindare. And when we worship Krishna in this mood of utter dependence, we become fearless. For one who has Krishna's shelter, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, this world that is danger at every step, there is no danger. Because in life or death, the eternal soul is reunited with Krishna. And this is the goal of our life. And this is what Queen Kunti is praying. To be completely dependent on Krishna means to see nothing of any value in this entire creation except Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita explains that for a liberated soul who has true knowledge, he sees that the stone on the ground and pure gold are of the same value. He makes no discrimination for himself. One may ask, then why in Tirupati they are spending crores of rupees for golden crowns and golden ornaments for the deities? And why in Udupi, one of the Madhvacharya Acharyas just 3 years ago, he raised 1 crore of rupees to make 1 crown of gold and diamonds for the deities of Udupi Krishna, diamond crown. And 1 crore for a golden chariot. Why not just make pebble chariots? It's much cheaper. Because the great souls, they discriminate for Krishna. They want to offer Krishna the best they possibly can. But Krishna accepts our devotion. After all, there is beautiful stories of devotees who offered Krishna such simple offerings. When Krishna went to Mithila, which is now Janakpur, Bahulashva offered him great opulences in his castle. He was king. And Shrutadev, who was a poor Brahmin, just offered him a little straw mat, some simple water and rice. But Krishna accepted it both equal because they were offering the best they could. But for ourselves, we do not discriminate. We see only pleasing Krishna is valuable in our life. Devotional service is our connection with Krishna. So the best way we could possibly serve the Lord is our greatest fortune and wealth. And this was Queen Kunti's idea. Queen Kunti is praying, Krishna, please do not leave us. It's not that she just wants to sit and look at Krishna. She wants to serve Krishna in every way. And it is this opportunity to serve Krishna in his divine presence that is the supreme fortune and wealth in this world. And this is what Queen Kunti is praying for. Please be here with us. Do not leave us. Let us serve you. If we forget you, our life is meaningless. She prayed, let the calamities happen again and again. Because when there is distress, when there is danger, when there is problem, we can become completely dependent on your mercy and remember you in such devotion. But when everything is nice, as it is now, you're coronated as the kings, and you're leaving us, we may forget you. This is the only fear of a devotee, the fear of forgetting Krishna. We do not fear death. We do not fear the threefold miseries of material existence. We only fear that we may forget Krishna, that we may serve the illusory energy rather than serving Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. So the Pandavas wanted always to have Krishna's divine service. But still, Krishna left. Krishna left, but he didn't leave. He left physically, but to such devotees like Kunti Devi, who were so surrendered and utterly sold at his lotus feet, wholesale, would Krishna ever leave? He remained always within her heart by helping her to always remember him. He remained always in the mood of separation from him. And Kunti and the Pandavas, throughout their lives, whether Krishna was present or not present, they were 24 hours a day serving the will of Krishna. Therefore, they were never apart from Krishna. Similarly, in the Vrindavan, the Brijvasis, Krishna left them when he was only about 12 and a half years old. And they were weeping, crying, in an even more intensified mood than Kunti Devi. They were begging Krishna when he was on the chariot of Akrura, please do not leave us, Krishna. We will put our bodies under your chariot to stop you. And if you decide to go, please take our life first, but do not go. Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura, apparently. But he was personally present more than ever within the hearts, within the minds of the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan. And it was for this reason that Uddhava, when Uddhava was living in Dwarka, he was with Krishna almost constantly. He was Krishna's most intimate friend. No one was present with Krishna more than Uddhava, physically. But when he went to Vrindavan to deliver the message of Sri Krishna, and he saw the Braja Gopis, and he saw Nanda and Yashoda, how they were so totally absorbed from the core of their hearts only in remembering Krishna, only in serving Krishna, only in crying for Krishna. He realized that they are with Krishna. I am distant. Although I'm sitting beside Krishna, I am very far away from Krishna. But they are intimately in Krishna's heart, and Krishna is intimately in their heart. Therefore, I want to worship them. I want to follow in their footsteps so I can have such a relationship with Krishna as them. I want to be a blade of grass to get the dust of their feet on my head. So for those who are in the mood of the gopis, or in the mood of Queen Kunti praying in this verse, that we are completely dependent on you, please do not leave us. We have nothing but you. Krishna never leaves such a devotee. And this is our aspiration. This is our goal. This is our only purpose for living, is to develop these sentiments of complete attachments to Krishna, complete dependence in Krishna, complete willingness to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, with no ego, with no aspiration for any form of Mahaprabhu came to give to the world. And it is that gift that we should all so sincerely endeavor to give to the world. Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, capturing the essence of the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give this utter attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan to the whole world. He performed so many sacrifices. And we have inherited that mission by His mercy. So we should be willing to perform whatever sacrifice to give this attachment to Krishna, to those people who are so engulfed in the illusion of thinking that they are the doers, they are the enjoyers of material nature. So here at Kumbh Mela, we have such a great fortune. We truly do. Because not only is this a very, very, very supremely holy place, in the Shastra, this Prayagraj is continuously glorified in practically all of the Puranas. In the Srimad Bhagavat, it explains that Balaramji came to this place, Krishna came to this place, Ramchandra came to this place, Nityananda Prabhu came to this place, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he induced everyone here to chant the holy names of Krishna. It is explained that the Triveni Sangam, the three rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, they had never before flooded into the city of Allahabad. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he created a flood of love of God, and all the residents of Allahabad, with their arms raised, were drowned by that flood as they chanted the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
As he was dancing at the Veni Madhava temple, crowds and crowds of people, tens and thousands of people, with their arms raised, were roaring very loudly the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
It was here that Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam approached the Lord, offered their prostrated obeisances. And it was here that Srila Rupa Goswami, in great love, upon seeing the beautiful, beautiful golden form of Gaurasundara, composed that immortal verse, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Snaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gola. It was here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the Dashashvamedha Ghat, there is a history to this ghat. It is described that Vishwamitra Muni Shakuntala, he gave birth to a son. His name was Bharat. And this Bharat became a great king. And he came here to Prayag because this is considered to be one of the greatest and most holiest places to perform yajna. Prayag. Yaga means yajna. So he performed 10 Ashwamedha yajnas at that place. Therefore it is called Dashashwamedha Ghat, long ago. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Srila Rupa Goswami for 10 days at this place. And he embraced him, and as he embraced Rupa Goswami, he invested within his heart the power to understand perfectly everything that the Lord said. And he empowered him to perfectly deliver his message to the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here at Prayag completely empowered Rupa Goswami with all of his own personal shakti. He empowered Rupa Goswami to perfectly understand his own mind and his own heart. So the greatest transmission of mercy took place here. And through that transmission of mercy, the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is coming down through the instructions and teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. It was also here that Sri Ballabha Bhatta, the great founder of the Pushti Marg Ballabhacharya Sampradaya, part of the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, it was here that Ballabha Bhatta was living for many years, and he invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to his home for prasad, and he took him on a boat going across Jamuna. And when Krishna saw the beautiful bluish color of the Jamuna, he thought of Shyam Sundar, and in the mood of Sri Radharani, he wanted to embrace Shyam Sundar. So he, in ecstasy, he jumped in the water. The devotees had to bring him out. He almost made the boat sink. And then he went, when Ballabhacharya saw this, he understood the supreme, super excellent love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was also here at Allahabad that one of the greatest lessons that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach the world took place. The great devotee Chota Haridas, who violated the principles of the renounced order, he lost the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his negligence to follow his vows properly. And to atone for that offense, he came here to Prayag, and here he submerged himself in the confluence of Jamuna Ganga and gave up his life. But because he did it in such a spirit of devotion, and because he was actually just acting to assist the Lord in showing a lesson to the world, he resumed his original spiritual form. And in the evenings, he would appear to Lord Chaitanya in his spiritual form, and he would sing the beautiful kirtan of the holy name for the pleasure of the Lord. So this Allahabad Prayagraj has a very, very significant place of worship for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally came twice, at least, on the way to and from Vrindavan Dham. In fact, on his way back from Vrindavan, he came during the month of Magh. He came during the Mela. It does not say whether it was a Magh Mela or Kumbh Mela, but he was here during the month of Magh, and we know that for thousands of years this Magh Mela and Kumbh Mela have been taking place. So at this very time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here in Prayag, taking his bath at the Sangam and dancing through the streets, chanting the holy names, inducing everyone to chant the holy names. And how fortunate we are that we are given this opportunity to be in the same place at the same time, performing the same activities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing through the streets with our arms raised, crying out the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Prayag during the month of Magh. Exactly the same pastime as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What good fortune. But with every good fortune there is some tapasya. It may be cold and everything else. But we should not mind any inconvenience if we can help assist this glorious mission of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was initiated both in Nam and Mantra Diksha from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati here in Allahabad. The place where Gauranga Mahaprabhu induced Rupa Goswami and impregnated him with the knowledge to spread throughout the creation. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati also made that eternal connection with Srila Prabhupada through Diksha. So let us utilize every moment that we have here for the highest purpose. When we're distributing books, we're actually the knowledge, whatever knowledge is in these books, is the knowledge that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu impregnated within the heart of Rupa Goswami here at Prayag. All our books are nothing but that. All Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures are simply amplifications of what Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa Goswami and expansions of that knowledge. Lord Chaitanya disseminated knowledge to the whole world here at Prayag by instructing Rupa Goswami. So when we are distributing books, we are performing the same pastime. We are assisting in this great pastime of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally was chanting, dancing, and distributing Harinam through the streets. So when we are doing Harinam Sankirtan, we are also assisting him in his own personal work here at Prayag. So we have a very, very special personal service to the Lord through all of our activities. So whatever time we are here, let us utilize to attract the Lord's mercy upon us and attract the mercy of the Lord upon all the fallen souls of this world. Let us cultivate while we are here this mood of Queen Kunti, of complete dependence on the will of the Lord, complete giving ourselves for the pleasure and for the service of the Lord, through the chanting of his names, for the service of his devotees. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes. false ego, he sense of false pride. He is very deeply rooted within the heart of all conditioned souls. Even when we come to Krishna consciousness, the very process of purification of that pride, we become proud of how we can perform that process. It is very difficult. But we must perform the process. I have spoken to devotees who say, I don't want to get up every morning for Mangal Aarti and chant 16 rounds, because if I do it, people will think I'm staunch, and then I will become proud. So better I don't chant 16 rounds and I sleep in. That way I can remain humble. Huh? What to do? Somebody, this is a preaching movement. You're asked to give class. Oh, I'm not qualified to give class. But if everyone was not qualified to give class, then no one would give class. Then where would be the preaching? Huh? We can think ourselves unqualified for every service. Then what would we do? I'm not qualified to chant, I'm not qualified to dance, I'm not qualified to give class. If I do any of these things, I'll become proud. Then we'll remain proud forever. It's like saying, I'm too sick to take the medicine. It is the order of Guru Maharaj. It is the order of the previous acharyas that we chant in kirtan, that we chant 16 rounds, that we perform particular tapasya. This is our order. We must understand, and if we're hearing properly, we will understand. I am proud of singing, but if Krishna so desires, he can take my voice away in a second. I am proud of dancing. If he wants, he can break my legs, he can break my ankles at any moment and make me an invalid. I am proud of my intelligence. If he wants, just one slip and fall on my head and we can have amnesia for the rest of our lives. Krishna can take anything away at any time. So why should we be proud? It is he that is giving us the power to chant, to dance, to speak. It is he who is giving us the power to do everything. But it is our duty to do whatever we can, the best we possibly can for his pleasure. But we have to cultivate this humble disposition as well. It is a question of our consciousness. Are we doing it for our own recognition or are we doing it in his service? In the neophyte state, we're doing it for both purposes. But we have to chant and we have to pray and we have to desire to give up this ego. If you desire to give up this ego, gradually through this process, you will give up this ego. But if you desire to serve your ego, then ultimately Krishna will smash you. He will smash you very hard. Just to show you that you're not the one, he's the one. But in any case, we must perform his order. But we must strive internally to do it with this understanding that we are completely depending on his mercy. We cannot give up our duty. That is false humility. False humility is when we say, I am not qualified or I am too proud, so I will not do what I am expected to do. That is not the means of purification. That is another type of falsehood. Do you understand? So whatever you're doing, you must do it the best way you possibly can for the pleasure of Krishna, for the inspiration of the Vaishnavas. But you must be conscious that whatever I can do, it is only by Krishna's mercy. He can give it, he can withdraw it, but it must be done for him. Because when you see in the Ganga Jamuna Sangam. People are offering water. They are lifting the water and they are offering it to Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Saraswati Devi. What are they? They're taking the water from Ganga and they're offering it back to Ganga. Ganga does not need your water. But when it's offered with the sentiment of humility and love, she accepts it as the most precious offering. So whatever we have, it is all coming from Krishna. He does not need it. But if we offer it in a spirit of service, he accepts it as something wonderful. Any other questions? Yes. Prahlad Maharaj is not glorified. Dhruva Maharaj is not glorified. The gopis, Radharani, are not glorified. Ambarish Maharaj is not glorified. Madhvacharya is not glorified. Ramanujacharya is not glorified. Shankaracharya is not glorified. Nimbarkacharya is not glorified. Vishnu Swami is not glorified. The whole path of bhakti is glorification of devotees. We know Parasara Muni is not glorified. Vyasadeva, the author. Every guru sits on Vyasasan. Guru Purnima is Vyas Puja. All gurus in all sampradayas, they worship this day, Guru Purnima, which is the appearance day of Vyas Day. He's the author of the Upanishads. He is glorified. Throughout the Shastras, devotees are glorified and remembered, never forgotten for their glories and their contribution to the path of bhakti. That is correct. Therefore, it is our service to try to help people come from the mundane to the spiritual. If you glorify mundane personalities, you remain mundane. If you glorify spiritual personalities, you become spiritual. But the Vedic literatures are nothing but glorification of great devotees. Arjuna is glorified in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains to Uddhava, the worship of my devotee is more dear to me than worshipping me. Madhbhakta pujabhyatika. So are we to accept Krishna's opinion, or are we able to accept your opinion? Krishna says worship of my devotee is more dear to me than worship of me directly, and you are saying we should not worship his devotee. So should we believe you, or should we believe Krishna? Personally, we believe Krishna. If we believe Krishna, we'll go back to Godhead. If we believe you, it's very uncertain where we will go. Immediately we can distribute much tasty prasad, and we can have nice, beautiful, wonderful, enjoyable kirtan, and we can distribute so many wonderful books. That is something we can do just now. As far as some long-term project, that will be revealed. We should know that all long-term projects, the seed of it, is in just grassroots preaching. Huh? Krishna empowers grand projects when he sees the devotee's devotional endeavors. Srila Prabhupada sat with a little drum in Tompkins Square Park. And from that endeavor of, and he was distributing prasad, little pieces of apple, or whatever he could get. So just by giving a little prasad and giving the holy names, and giving some books, the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with so many hundreds of temples, has taken place. So this is something we can do now. Distribute wonderful prasad. Have wonderful Harinam Kirtan. Sankirtan. Distribute so many books. And be exemplary in our behavior. That is very essential. When Srila Prabhupada was having his disciples preaching in India, this was one thing he stressed more than anywhere else in the world. That each devotee, whatever our service is, we must be very gentle, and we must be very, very exemplary in our behavior. That will spread this movement. That will attract people. Srila Prabhupada had his Prayag Pharmacy here. Yes, it was called Prayag Pharmacy.
Day pharmacy.
But it was here in Prayag. See how everyone sits, so it's definitely a good place for a pharmacy. Srila Prabhupada resided in this holy place for so many long years. Very, very special holy place. Srila Prabhupada's home. That is, he is discussing the greatest service in this world. In the spiritual world, there's no preaching. There's no need for preaching. Everyone is convinced eternally that Krishna is our only object of love. But this material world is a place of forgetfulness. So the greatest service we can render in this material world is to teach the message of Krishna consciousness. But when Krishna descends along with his abode, Vrindavan, and there is no need for preaching in Vrindavan when Krishna was residing, because everyone in Vrindavan was a fully qualified, purified devotee of the Lord. Many were Nitya Siddhas who descended from the spiritual world, and others were Sadhan Siddhas, Kripa Siddhas, who ascended through sadhana, previous lifetimes, to that perfected stage of having the chance to directly follow in the footsteps and be trained by the residents of Vrindavan. So there was no need for preaching in Vrindavan. But in Kurukshetra, Krishna was preaching. So in this world of ignorance, it is the greatest sacrifice. Because in this age of Kali, what is the greatest preaching? To induce people to chant the holy names of Krishna, the Yuga Dharma.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada explains in this purport today that depending on Krishna does not mean that you become inefficient. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time depend completely on Krishna. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of the standard civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Sri Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. Still, they always looked for the mercy of the Lord, because they knew that every living being is dependent by constitutional position. So, a devotee like Arjuna, he was completely dependent on Krishna, but still, he fought very gallantly and killed many men. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. We have to do our work. We have to do our duty. But we must understand that ultimately Krishna is in control. Ultimately we are depending on His mercy. So why do we take medicine? we're depending on Krishna, but he gives us a body that's subjected to disease. Ultimately, Krishna could work through the medicine or not work through the medicine. When Srila Prabhupada was sick, he would call Kaviraj, doctor. And even if it didn't work, he would say, a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. He'd say, it's just the ritual of this world that when you're sick, you have to take medicine. He was depending on Krishna. But still, you have to try. When Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, ultimately it was in Krishna's hands whether Devaki lives or died. But still, Vasudeva did everything within his power to protect her. That was his duty. He made so many philosophical arguments, so many social arguments, so many promises. He was a pure devotee. So a devotee must be ideal and example. And a devotee must live exemplary within society. God has given us a body, and it is our duty to protect it from disease, protect it from violent harm. But ultimately, although we're doing this as a service to the Lord, to protect the property of the Lord, your body is not yours, it's Krishna's property. The temple is not yours, it's Krishna's property. It is our duty to defend it. If we don't perform that duty, we're actually offensive in our devotional mentality. We must defend what is Krishna's. But ultimately we must know that we're doing it as a service, trying to defend what is Krishna's. But if Krishna wants to kill me, nothing can protect me. And if Krishna wants to protect me, nothing can kill me. Ambarish Maharaj defended himself by prayer. Prahlad Maharaj defended himself by prayer. Arjuna defended himself with bow and arrow. They are both simply acting according to the will of the Lord. But we are a preaching movement. And a preaching movement means you have to fight. You have to fight against Maya. You have to be a soldier in Krishna's army to fight. So we must fight. Do you understand? Prabhupada King.
Yeah.